Now it says, to anyone who strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him your left. Interesting. Now, this is an interesting passage of scripture. You can go down. The interesting part about this is when Tom is striking me on the right cheek, he's striking me with his forehand, which is the way you punish slaves in the Old Testament. Bam! And then he says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him your left. If you turn the left, then the person has to strike you with the backhand, which is the way in the ancient Near East equals would strike each other. And so what Jesus is doing here is saying, if someone strikes you on the right hand, what should you do? What would the just person do? This person did me wrong. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Bah! Right? Strike him again. Jesus is saying, isn't there a different way? Turn them in the other cheek. When you turn the other cheek, what Jesus is asking you to do is to say, I'm not your slave. I'm not your underling. Imagine people being told that they needed to go to debtor's prison because they're working their fingers to the bone trying to make ends meet from people who have exploited them and have taken their own land, who now hold all the possessions of the country, striking the person saying, you haven't paid me. And what does Jesus say to you? Turn your other cheek. What is it saying? You and I are no different. I'm just as much a human being as you are. If you want to strike me, you strike me like the person I am. You're equal. This is interesting. This next example Jesus gives is that if anyone wants to sue you for your shirt, take your coat as well. This is a modern translation. They've gunked it up a little bit. But in the ancient Near East, you had an outer garment and you had an inner garment. And so if someone wants to take your outer garment, Jesus says, what should you do? Raise a ruckus? Jesus says, give him your outer garment, but also give him your inner garment, which is interesting because in the Old Testament it expressly forbids anyone to take the inner garment of a person in repayment of a debt. That's because in the ancient Near East, your inner garment is used as a blanket at night. If you're homeless, it's the only thing you have to keep you from the cold. And so Jesus says, you want to take my outer garment? Give him your outer garment. And you know what? Strip yourself totally bare and hand everything over and say, that's what you do to us. You take everything. March through the city naked. What is that saying? You want to take from me? This is what you're taking from me. You're taking everything from us. You're leaving us with nothing. And the next example is, this is interesting. If anyone should press you into service for 1 mile, go too. The Roman soldiers, there's a law that says that you can go into any sort of occupied territory and you can tell a person who's an inhabitant of that land, you need to carry my sack for 1 mile. Let's say 1 mile is a different Greek word for that, but 1 mile. But the rulers, the people like Pilate, who we hear about in the New Testament, realized that if they went any more than a set distance, like for say 1 mile, then they would cause these local inhabitants to get disgruntled and upset, and they would revolt. So there was a limit put on it. You can only ask them to go 1 mile. You can't ask them to go anymore. And if you ask them to go anymore, your head is at stake. So the Roman soldier comes by and says, go with me 1 mile. What does the just person say? The just person says, no way. I don't need to carry that. This is my land. It's not your land. That's what the good person says. That's not the way the third way of Jesus person responds. The third way of Jesus person responds, we say, sure, I'll take that for you. Ching, 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 ching. You walk a mile. And then when it's time for the sack to be delivered to someone else, and the soldier says, okay, now I'll give it back to me and I'll get somebody else to carry it. You say, no, 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 I'd love to carry it another mile. And you can just see, right? The soldier's face goes, oh no, I really need you to give it back. No, no, I want to carry it. I'm going to carry it as long as I can carry it. This is a way of saying, I have power. You're not the only person who has power. I have power. But listen, you need to know what you're doing to us. And what you're doing to us endangers not only us, it endangers you. It endangers you. And this is what makes Jesus' third way different than the way of chaos and the way of the good person who demands justice, It's the way of the peacemaker who can speak the truth, but speak it in a way that empathizes with the person who's part of the system of injustice, who realizes that that person needs to be shown what is real in a way that allows for some kind of healing to occur. You can't show another person what is true in a way that allows for healing to occur when you shove a shiv into their ribs. That's not the way that peace is made, and it's not the way that change is made. What makes the Jesus movement continue on past these terrible, tumultuous times of the Jewish Revolution is because the Jesus movement was a movement that learned how to speak the truth in a way that honored the other and empathized with the other so that relationships could in some way be healed. That said, not only do you have rights, but we have rights. Not only do you have honor, but we have honor. Not only do you have power, but we have power. And until we all understand that we all have rights and we all deserve honor and we all deserve power, this is never going to work between us. This is the third way.